Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Amen. Okay, so we have been studying the book of Galatians. How many of you guys have been enjoying this series so far? Yeah, it's been so power-packed, every single message. If you've missed any, you can check them online, but don't worry, just a quick overview. Chapter 1, it's a book, basically the book is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, and he's writing it to the Church of Galatia. And he is telling them that, because at that time there was these false teachers coming into the church after he left, and they were trying to confuse the church of Galatia and tell them, hey, no, you're not really saved, you know, you have to make sure that you're following the traditions and the customs and the laws of that the Jewish people were following. And for example, circumcision. They're like, you're not saved, you have to be circumcised, you have to do all these things. And Paul is writing the letter saying, no, that is not true. We are saved by Jesus Christ, and that God revealed to him, the Apostle Paul, the truth of this gospel, okay? And we learned in chapter 1 that we are to be God pleasers and not man pleasers, okay? Paul also broke down a little bit about his testimony and how he, you know, was persecuting Christians, and he was zealous for the things of God at that time, just persecuting Christians because he thought that they were doing things not the correct way. Until he met with Paul, right, on the road to Damascus, and it blinded Paul, and he got to really know who God was, and God actually revealed himself to him, right? And so he's telling the church these things. In chapter 2, we're in chapter 2. It is where Paul goes to the church at Jerusalem to speak to the leaders at the time. And he wants to make sure, let them know that, hey, I want to make sure that the churches that I planted, that everything, all my work is not done in vain, okay? So that we're all on the same page here. Are you guys tracking? You're tracking good? Okay. So what we are about to read is we're going to see that the church leaders, they actually approved of Paul as the apostle, okay? So turn to your Bibles. We are in Galatians 2. We're going to read our key scriptures today is 6 through 10. Okay, so when you get there, just let me know. I'm going to give you a few seconds to get there.
I got there.
All right, you got there. Okay, so I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Whatever translation you have is perfectly fine. So let's begin. And it says, and the leaders of the church, they had nothing to add to what I was preaching. Remember, he's kind of defending the fact that he's called by the apostle, okay? And he says, by the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. I love this part, right? Because we see that Paul, you know, I don't know what version you have, but there's a lot of different versions that it might say that our version says that they were leaders of the church. Your version might say that these were men that were recognized and they were important men or influential men. Either way, we get it that these men had titles, and these men, these leaders that he's talking about are leaders, okay? And they're important men. But Paul's saying here, I don't care who they are. He's not intimidated by their title. He's not intimidated by their position. He's not intimidated by any of those things. And the reason is because he knows God himself, right? God revealed himself to Paul. He had that personal relationship with Christ. And he knows God so well that he knows God does not have any favorites. We're going to keep reading verse 7. So it says, instead of these leaders adding to this message that I'm teaching and preaching, instead of doing that, these leaders saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. Okay, so when I study, I like to read a lot of different versions, so I'm just going to highlight a few things in other versions that you might see. Okay, so in my version, it says that they saw that God had given him the responsibility to preach, to do something. Your version might say that they saw that God had entrusted Paul to do something, or that God had committed to Paul to do something. Okay, very important, because we're going to talk about that. Either way, we get the idea that just as God committed and gave Paul a responsibility, he did the same thing for Peter. We good? Okay, so verse 8, it says, For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. I love that, okay? Because it's saying that how many of us know that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, right? We just sang about that. The God of Abraham and the God of Moses, the God who answered prayers then, he's the God that will answer prayers now, okay? So right here saying the same God who is working through Peter is the same God who's working through Paul, okay? It's God who's doing the working, not them being so amazing. It's the one. It's God in them that's doing the working so that they can accomplish what God's called them to do, okay? Verse 9, it says, in fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, they recognized the gift God had given me. And they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continue their work with the Jews. Okay, so basically, your version might say they recognized the grace that God had given them. Obviously, mine says they recognized the gift God had given them. Either way, these important men, what do we know about James, Peter, and John? We know that they're who? They're God's disciples, right? And some of us will even know, hey, they're actually the top, kind of like the top three, the big three, right? They're the disciples that walked with Jesus, went to places with Jesus that the other disciples didn't go to, okay? So he's saying these people who knew Jesus, they could recognize the grace over Paul's life, okay? So as we can, at verse 10, let's keep on going. It says, their suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do. Okay, so I love this verse because it just shows, like, you know, as you're serving God and whatever God's entrusted you to do, there's a unity here, okay? And we're starting to look more and more like God, and we care about the things God cares about. God cares about the poor, and Paul's like, great, because I care about the poor too, and I want to pour into them too, right? So these are our four scriptures. And as I was trying to figure out, okay, God, there's so much in here. There's so much encouragement, and there's so much truth, and there's so much of your principles and their character in this. What do you want me to talk about today? What do you want the ladies and I to know and to share and to learn from today? And as I was just meditating and just thinking about that over and over, and I was reading different, you know, just different studies on Paul and just doing my study time, I just kept going back to the life of Paul. And I kept just thinking about this man who was so bold. He didn't care about what, you know, the status of men. He knew what God called him to do, and he was going to do it. He was going to call you out and say, hey, you're not living right. Let's fix this up. This is what we need to do. He was so bold. Okay, and I started thinking about Paul and how he was so committed to the gospel and preaching the truth. And he was just so committed no matter what. He's like, this is my job. I'm going to do it. This man was stoned. This man was shipwrecked. This man was put in prison, but he didn't care. He was committed to what God, his God assignment, what God called him to do. And I kept just thinking about, like, how he was spirit-led, you know? In the book of Acts, it goes, the Spirit of God, he forbid Paul to go here, and the Spirit forbid him to go here. Paul followed the Spirit wherever he told him to go, and he could hear that. And I just kept thinking, like, man, God, Paul is like, I don't know, he's just amazing. He planted these churches. He encouraged believers. He just cared about people growing to full maturity and not just staying babes in Christ. And I just kept kind of being like, wow, and I just felt like, God, he is so effective, you know, and if he's so effective, God, I just kept asking myself, like, am I effective? Like, I want to be effective like Paul, and I know your ladies today, anybody want to be effective? They want to live an effective life for Paul, and I just kept thinking about that, and I'm just like, okay, God, well, I think that's kind of our message. So we're going to talk about is living an effective life like Paul, okay? So just like the scriptures we just read, God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, right? Just like the scriptures we just read, God is not a respecter of man. He doesn't have favorites. Paul's not a favorite over me, over you, over your neighbor, right? He has no favorites. So just as God is working in Paul, guess what? God wants to work in me. God wants to work in you. So that's really, really good news. So the first number one point so if we want to live an effective life like Paul, number one, we must know God. It has to start with, we have to know God. Okay, I know some of you guys in here are like, get this amateur preacher, like she needs to go because we are at church because we know God, right? We live in a Christian nation, hello, we know God. And I get that, I really do, but what I'm talking about is like not just knowing about God, but actually really knowing who he is. The best example I could think of, it's a very obvious example, right? How many of you guys know Jared, my husband? Okay? If you go to church here, you see him every Wednesday night singing or worshiping. If you hear Saturdays, Sundays, a lot of us know him, right? We know him as, like I said, a very handsome man, right? And we know him as a singer. He sings and he ushers in the anointing, right? We know him. I don't know if you follow him on social media. You might know that he likes dogs, okay? You might know, he has a family, okay? So you know him, okay? A lot of times we'll go into the grocery store and someone will be like, oh, hi, Jared, I know you. You know, I see you at church. And we're like, oh, yeah, you know him. But I think we can all agree that that knowledge of who Jared is very different than how I would know him, right, as his wife, right? I know Jared as my husband. I know him as the father to my kids. I know him as a man who is very tender for the things of God, and he's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I know him as a man who, I know what he likes and what he doesn't like. I know as a wife, if I want something done in the house, there's a certain way I must approach him. There's certain things, things I must do or say to get things done, right? Because I know when we go out to eat, what he's going to order and how he's going to like it, half marinara, half Alfredo at Olive Garden, because I know him. Why? Because I committed to him and he committed to me. I've invested time in him and he's invested time in me. And as we can see, they're very different ways of knowing. And whether you're married or not, there's somebody in your life, whether it's a sister, a friend, a parent, a child, a coworker, somebody in your life you just know so very well, just like that, right? So I want to tell us this morning that God wants us to know him in that same way. You know, he wants us to know him intimately. He wants to know the character, his character. He wants us to know his voice. He wants us to know his heart. God really wants us to know him in a way that's an experience with him, a personal relationship with him, not just a head knowledge, not just knowing scriptures and coming to church, but actually having an encounter with God. Like Paul, we see Paul, right, on the road to Damascus. Before the road to Damascus, he knew God. He studied, right? He probably memorized all those books. He knew God just here. But on that road to Damascus, when he actually had an encounter with God, when he actually had an experience with God, then he really knew who God was. Can you guys agree with that? So I just want to make sure that we know that, it's really important that we know him. We know that he's the creator of all things, right? We know that he is good. We know that he is faithful. We know that his word is literally settled in heaven. We know that God, every word spoken has come to pass. We know that God is literally looking to be good to every single one of us in here. God is so good. God wants to get to know you in that way, and you to invest in him in the same exact way. So let's quickly look at some scripture and see what the word of God says about knowing him. Just you don't have to like write the whole scripture down, because I might go a little fast. If you just want to write the address, that's fine. But John 17:3, I love this one, because this is Jesus literally praying to God. And this is what he's saying. And he says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So Jesus is praying, God, I just want my people to know you, to know you. And this know is not just an intellectual know, it's a head knowledge of know. I love the next verse. It says Psalms 46:10, and it says, be still. And I know as women, it's really hard to be still, especially if you have little kids. You're just like never still. Like you just have so much to do. You have to cook. You have to clean. You have to go to the store. You have to, figure out what your friend's doing. And you have to keep up on social media. And you have to do all these things. And it's really hard to just be still. But God's saying right here, be still and know that I am God. That I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in earth. You know, when I looked up this word know, it actually means to find out, to discern, to know by experience. So when God is saying, know that I'm God, it's not a passive thing. He's saying, find out who I am. Go through experiences and bring me with you to really discern who I am through those experiences. It's an active thing. It's us actually doing something to find out about him. Psalms 119:10 says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Jeremiah 24:7 says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with what? Their whole heart. So we can see that God wants us to know him in a way that's an experience, and it absolutely includes our heart. You know, are we seeking him with our heart? Are we obeying him in our heart? Are we trusting him? Are we following him? Is our life a reflection of the fact that we know Jesus? Do the people in your circle, the people in your home, do the people at your work, do they see the fruit of your life that you actually know him? Not the scriptures that you say, but actually know him. See, desiring to know God leads us to living a godly life that is pleasing to him and will absolutely be an effective life, because we see in verse 6, Paul knew God so well that he's going to these leaders and saying confidently, not intimidated by who they are, going confidently, telling them that, you know what, you don't have favorites. He knew God for himself. Yeah. Okay? Second point. I only have 3 points, and if I go long, we'll just stick at 2. So we're at 2. Point number 2. You guys good? You guys are quiet? Okay. Number 2. If we want to live an effective life like Paul, we must know that God has entrusted us with something to do, and we must do it. You see, in our key scriptures today, we see that Paul was called to what? Preach to the Gentiles. God had entrusted Paul to preach to the Gentiles, just as God has called or entrusted Paul to preach to the Jews. Okay? In the same way, we know God's not a respecter of persons, right? So God called them to do something. Guess what? God's called me to do something, and he's called you to do something. Here's the truth. Every single person here today, every person listening online, you play a vital role in building the kingdom of God. Every single person. Not just the pastors, not just the pastors' wives, not just your church, your table leaders, or the pretty women that are like, hi, welcome, come on. Not just them, but you do. You do. You play an important role in building the kingdom of God. You are called with a purpose, and we are literally God's hands and his feet. We take them everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Let's look at Philippians 2:13. I don't know, for some reason this verse just reminds me of Pastor Deborah. But it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So he's entrusted us with something to do, not because we're so wonderful and we're so capable, but it's because God in us, God working through us to do something. 1 Corinthians 3:9, I like the Passion Translation. It says, we are co-workers with God, and you are God's cultivated garden, the house he is building. You, every single one of us here, you, me, the little girl over there, that's so cute. Right? I love this next verse, because has anybody like read the Bible and you read a verse and it just kind of slapped you around a little bit and you're like, dang, God, you're just blasting me right now. Okay? So this next one did that for me. It's James 1:2:2. And it says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Can I be honest here for a little bit, all right? So for a long time, you know, saved and everything, but there was a season where I was just like the professional church note taker, you know, where every Sunday, oh, I'm not going to miss church. Maybe that's legalism, I don't know, but I'm not going to miss church. I'm going to be there. But I'm going to have my notes and my pads, and I'm going to write all the notes. When the pastor says something, oh, that's so good. Oh, wow, so good, you know. And then after service, I would close my book and just live my life. Go to work. You know, I'm happy and I'm kind and all that stuff. But I wasn't really doing anything kingdom-minded, you know, doing anything for God, like not really on assignment. And I was pretty bored, and I'm like, God, this is boring. Like, is this what the Christian life is? Like, it just doesn't feel like nothing's really happening. And I just remember God is like, you know, you need to seek me, you know? You have to seek me. You're just going to church, closing your Bible, and that's it. Like, you're not leaving me room to move or to work or do anything. You know, and I remember I would come to church and, you know, being around the women, I just love it. Like, this is like my favorite time. You know, I'm home with the kids all day and I'm tired. And I'm like, oh, yes, I could be with women. We get to talk and laugh, you know. But I would be here and I would just see God using women to do amazing things. I would see the goodness of God in their life. I would see them, you know, doing something for the kingdom. And I'm like, God, what's wrong with me? What am I missing here? You know, and that's, like I said, he's telling me I need to seek him. You know, I need to start doing something. And so I started to just figure out, okay, God, well, let me just, you know, see what I have in front of me. What can I do? You know, I know God entrusted me with my husband. So I'm going to respect my husband, and I'm going to be faithful with, you know, encouraging him and supporting him and really just being a safe space for him. And I'm like, okay, God, I got that. You know, the next thing is like, okay, my kids. Okay. I know that you've entrusted me with my kids, and that is my responsibility. I literally left my job to be home with my kids because I knew that's what God called me to do. And it was hard, okay, but I did it because I wanted to be obedient. But, you know, I'm like, okay, God, you've entrusted me with these kids, and your word says for me to train up them, a child, in the way that they should go. So, okay, I'm going to pour in the word of God. I'm going to not just talk about the word of God, but I'm going to show it with my life. I'm going to love on them. I'm going to pour into them, you know, and I'm not just going to rely on the church and expect them to teach my kids. No, because the word of God says that I'm their parent and he's entrusted me and that I'm supposed to teach and train them and that the church will just supplement what I'm doing at home. And once I started to really accept that, like, okay, I have to accept this is where I'm at, right? Because I did struggle, like, having to stay home. I'm going to be honest. I'm like, oh, I want to work. But I struggled with that. But once I actually accepted that, and I'm like, okay, God, you've entrusted me. This is what's in my hand. You've entrusted me with this. So let me be faithful with this. And I was, as I was being faithful with that, little things, I'm like, okay, all right. So I've been good with that. And then I started to volunteer at the children's ministry. I'm like, you know what? I can volunteer once a month. I think I could like do it once a month. I think I could just take a step out and do it once a month. So I started to do that. And as I did this one step, God's like, okay, great. You're doing great. Okay. The next thing, you know, I started to, you know, you scroll on Facebook and you see like the needs of people around you and God would highlight certain people. And I saw this woman, right? That she was my old coworker and her husband died. And my heart was like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine, right, that pain and that hurt. And they had four kids, and as a wife, as a mom, I'm like, oh my gosh. But I just felt like, God, I'm home. What can I do? There's not really much I can do, you know. But then I just felt God's like, no, you're cooking for your family. Why don't you just make an extra meal and cook for them? Just love on them. You know, you are my hand. You're carrying me wherever I go. So I did that. And as I just started doing little things, little by little, God just started opening doors, and he started to make me feel like, oh, I can do it. Okay, there is something that you've entrusted with me, and as I was faithful with the little things, he started to give me bigger and more things. Yes. Julia would be texting me, hey, you want to come on stage and do pre-show? I'm like, what? Heck no. On stage? No way. But I'm like, oh, God, okay, if you ask me, I guess I have to say yes, right? And it's just amazing. As he's entrusted you with a little and you're faithful with that, you know, he shows up. He shows up. So start with what's in your hand. Be faithful with that. Seek God diligently and absolutely get planted in your church. Because as you do those things, God will start to do something in your heart to show you what he's entrusted you to do. And you'll be encouraged and felt built up to be able to do those things. Okay? Yeah. Can I give an example? Okay, so this is, I'm going to read this story. I found this story online, and I thought it was really cool because a lot of times we think that, you know, what God's entrusted us with is, you know, only entrusted pastors or these, you know, people we see on TV, but we don't realize no matter where your situation is that God's entrusted you with something too. So I'm going to read this story, and I love it because it's about a man who knew exactly what God called him and entrusted him to do, and he just did it. It looked very different than what we might think, but he was faithful, okay? It's a man named R.G. Laterney, okay? And he was a Christian industrialist who dedicated his life to being a businessman for God. He was hugely successful designing and developing his own line of earth-moving equipment. Laterney was the maker of nearly 300 inventions and had hundreds of patents in his lifetime. As he succeeded financially, he increased his giving to the point where he was giving 90% of his income to build to the Lord's work. 90%. Okay, this is his quote from him. He says, "I shovel out money and God shovels it back. But God has a bigger shovel." Right? I'm like, oh, that is so true. It's so good. You know, because he knew God gave him gifts to be a businessman. He gave him opportunities to invent all of these things. And he knew it was the God who did these things for him. That was the gift God gave him. Not to preach, not to go to missionary, not to do this, but to build, to work to what he's gifted at. Right? And then knows that this isn't my money. This is for the church. This is for the preachers to be able to preach and the missionaries to be able to mission and to feed the poor and to do all these things, right? I love that story. It's so encouraging. It shows us that we can actually tithe more than 10%. We don't have to stay there, you know?
Come on.
Okay, our last point is if we want to live an effective life like Paul, we must know that God covers us with his grace. And other people can see it. Okay, we saw that in James, Peter, and John. They saw the grace over Paul's life. Okay? In the same way, whatever God's entrusted you to do, other people should be able to see it. Okay? Just to define grace really quick, it's God's unmerited favor. It's something we don't deserve. It's his kindness towards us. Pastor Jim, he defines it as God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. Okay? I know I'm kind of going fast, so you guys writing notes. And I love Pastor Deborah. She said, God's power in me to help me do what his truth demands of me. I love it. Because it's God. It's not us. The fact that I'm even able to do this and I'm not stuttering is not me, right? It is God. It is 100% his grace right now. 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Okay? So we see that it is God's grace in our lives to be able to do something, okay? I like Pastor Jess said, I did graduate from Bible College here, which is the most incredible experience. You're never too old or too young to go to Bible College. I think every person, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you should attend our Bible College because it will change your life. But one of the classes I took was Pastor Joel, and he taught a doctrine of grace, and it was an amazing class. And one of his quotes I kind of took from my notes that I just remembered was, you know, God's grace and glory, they're kind of tied together, okay? And so this is a quote from his class. He said, glory is the manifested goodness of God. It's his grace and his compassion being displayed. Okay? So in other words, he's saying when we operate in grace, when we operate in the gifting God's given us, then it makes known and evident how good God is. Okay? So it glorifies God and his goodness. It doesn't magnify us. Oh, we're not so wonderful. Without his grace, we are not so wonderful. Okay? And as I was thinking about this, some people who actually go to this church, some women that I see serve faithfully, you just popped up to me. And I just want to share some of, I just want to just kind of encourage them, because they're everyday people, right, who just display the goodness of God in every area of their life. And one of them is Miss Alice. Miss Alice, if you know Miss Alice, she is so faithful, she's so committed, she's so dedicated to the house of God. Miss Alice is raising her grandbabies so beautifully, and it's so evident of God's grace over your life and the goodness of God in you. And I love you, and I see you, and it's just so beautiful to see. So thank you for being faithful with what God's asked you to do. I also think about IKEA. Yeah. I think about IKEA because it is so evident the goodness of God over her life. It is so evident the anointing that she has. And it's not because IKEA is so amazing. It's because she's so dependent on God. It's because she knows what God's entrusted her to do, and she just does it. I don't have to ask her, okay, IKEA, how many hours are you studying, or how much time are you in the presence of God? I don't even have to ask that because it's evident. The glory of God is all over you, and you're so beautiful, and you're so faithful. And I'm like, wow, God, when I was 20, if I was like that, I can imagine where I'd be now. So it's just amazing, and I just love you so, so much. I just wanted to highlight a few because, you know, we just think it's like just, you know, these big people, but it's everyday people like you and I. And the truth is, if you're a Christian, if you call Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, the people in your neighborhood, the people at work, the people at the store, the people at the restaurants, the people at your table, everyone should see the goodness of God in your life. You should be the light, especially now when everything is so dark. You should really be so highlighted with His goodness and glory. So in closing, in order to be effective women like Paul, we must know God for ourselves. We must know that we are entrusted with something to do, and we must do it. And we also need to know that God's grace will cover us with whatever God is asking us to do. Did you get something today? Okay, good. Good.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.